Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, CookUnity delivers. Made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. CookUnity was made for adventurous eaters, with 160-plus award-winning chefs curating an ever-expanding menu of small-batch meals. Get ready-to-eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Their roster of Food Network alums, James Beard Award winners, and acclaimed restaurateurs balance bold flavors and nutrition in their handcrafted meals, which are freshly prepared, delivered to your door, and never frozen. Get what you're craving. Try the freshest, best-tasting meal delivery made by your favorite celebrity chefs. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter code CRAVE before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's free premium meals for life at cookunity.com/crave.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It's the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. It's a Football Friday, setting the stage for the weekend. Week number 5 in the NFL already underway. The Saturday slate, week number 6, the opening Saturday in October of the college football season as well. Lisi guy, good to be with you here, my man, on this Football Friday.
I'm excited, baby. We got a great week of college football, great week of the NFL, and we saw a little bit of a glimpse last night with our guy, Justin Fields, breaking out with a huge performance. So we got great games on tap as well in terms of Friday night action. That Big 12 battle between Kansas State and Oklahoma State has me a little excited, Ben.
I'm sure it does. Lisi, you convinced me before the year got underway to bet the over on Oklahoma State's win total of 6.5. The Pokes need to start ringing up some wins, Lisi guy, if we are going to cash that ticket. But, Joe, we have been two very staunch defenders of Justin Fields ever since the draft cycle leading up to the 2021 NFL draft, believing in the talent that he was to play the quarterback position in the National Football League at a high level. And, Joe, let's call a spade a spade. Earlier this year, it was difficult to defend a little bit of what Justin Fields was doing, but as Fields himself said, and as we echo, Joe, maybe it was on the coaching. Well, the last couple of weeks, Justin Fields has backed up his talk and put on some sensational performances. 347 days, Joe Lisi, no longer. The Bears get their first win in 2023. Chicago gets their first victory in nearly a full calendar year. 40-20, Joe, over Washington last night outside the nation's capital.
Yeah, it started in unfortunate circumstances before the game with a legend in terms of Dick Butkus passing away. And you wanted to see that type of effort out of the Chicago Bears, right? To rally around an iconic Hall of Famer that just epitomized what Chicago's all about. And Justin Fields put on a show. I mean, from drive number one, hitting DJ Moore numerous times, they set the tone early and they were aggressive early in terms of the play calling, allowed Justin Fields to utilize the game according to his strengths, not only through the air, Ben, but we saw a little bit of a glimpse in terms of the RPO game, and they jumped on Washington so quick that it was almost like a title fight. They hit him with so much early on that Washington could just never respond with Sam Howell in the second half.
Yeah, they had to throw the football so many times, Joe, to try to make up ground. 51 attempts for Sam Howell last night. The Commanders run it on just 10 plays for only only 29 yards, and actually Sam Howell was their leading scorer. That's what you wanted to see out of Chicago, to go on the road and win outright as a six-point underdog. Let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM, channel 159. 159 on Sirius XM is the home for Sports Grid Radio. This is Football Full Circle on a Football Friday. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. In Chicago, Joe, after the really sad and unfortunate news about Dick Butkus passing away at the age of 80, one of the most fearsome defenders to ever play the sport of football, the Chicago kid who remained in the state of Illinois through all of his playing days, high school, college, in Champaign, a two-time consensus All-American at Illinois, and then, of course, drafted by the Bears and played the entirety of his career for his hometown team. You thought maybe there would be some added significance for this Bears organization. They score a touchdown on their opening drive, a scoring drive on their second, resulting in a field goal, a touchdown on their third drive, a field goal on their fourth, and a touchdown before the half. Five scoring drives on all five offensive possessions for Chicago, Joe, in the first half. They took a 27-3 lead and never looked back last night against the Commanders.
Yeah, again, it was an all-around effort. I thought the offensive line did a fantastic job early on protecting them, and Justin Fields stepped up and proved and showcased why he was taken in terms of the first round. He had pinpoint accuracy, a great touch early on, and the ability to find the open receiver. And again, you know, the arm strength is never a question. I mean, that should have never have been brought into the conversation about Justin Fields, because he can fling it as good as anybody. Think about this, too. Back-to-back four touchdown games for Justin Fields, Ben. He's got 11 touchdowns, five interceptions on the year. He has just the same as Kirk Cousins. I mean, you know, so yeah. When we talk about quarterbacks not being able to play, and, you know, it's only one game. I heard that all on Twitter last night. It's two games, and it's more where the offensive staff took a more aggressive approach as opposed to running the football 90% of the time.
Yeah, completely agree, Joe, right? It's still a small sample size for Justin Fields. Last week against Denver was his first 300-yard passing performance of his career, wasted by Matt Eberflus in some incredibly questionable decision-making late in that fourth quarter against Denver. Last night, 15 of 29 for Fields, 282 and four touchdowns. 230 of those passing yards, Joe, going to DJ Moore, who had a career night as well. Eight grabs, 230 yards, three of the four touchdown tosses that Justin Fields threw. And that's the picture. That's why you get DJ Moore in that trade, to allow Carolina to move up to number one overall. All the draft capital that came back with it, of course, but the additional piece that could make an impact right away. That is why you do it. And the book is not written, Joe, on Justin Fields. I don't think it will be even over the next few weeks. I'm not sure it's going to work out in Chicago, because again, Joe, we're talking about a 1-4 football team that up until last night was a disaster through the opening month of this year. I don't know if the situation, Joe, in the Windy City is going to be positive for Matt Eberflus, for Justin Fields, or anybody currently associated with that organization. But I do still feel pretty confident in the idea that Justin Fields can be a high-level starting NFL quarterback somewhere in this league. It could be Chicago. He still could remain the face of the franchise. But somewhere, Joe, Justin Fields will play the quarterback position at a very high level and make dividends each and every week in the NFL.
Well, think about it. I mean, think about Jalen Hurts, a dynamic quarterback, NFC champion. I mean, mobile and can chuck the football. Pat Mahomes, great, you know, physical attributes, great pocket presence, mobile, can throw the football. Josh Allen, why wouldn't you want Justin Fields on your roster? Explain that to me. He's not Zach Wilson, and he's not some has-been quarterback that just came into the NFL. I mean, this is one of the best college quarterbacks that we've seen. This is a kid that threw 71% in his junior season and then led the Ohio State Buckeyes to the national championship, and at the end of the day, right, beat up on Clemson with six touchdown passes. So, I mean, what are we talking about here? I just don't understand when we talk about his body of work. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it, right? There are some detractors for what we have seen so far in the NFL, no doubt about it. And I think Justin Fields would admit himself, sometimes those worries have been earned. But I will just say this, that Justin Fields made a statement last night. Chicago made a statement. We'll continue to react to what we saw. Is it a one-game blip on the radar, or can the Bears turn things around a little bit with some extra time off playing on a short week on a Thursday night? What does it mean for the Commanders, a team that started off a perfect 2-0, now have lost three consecutive games? Some more from Thursday Night Football before we get ready for the Sunday slate. That's next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Week number 5 of the NFL season underway last night outside the nation's capital in Landover, Maryland. The Bears get their first win of the year. That's in 2023. And nearly in a calendar year, after 347 days, the Bears snap a 14-game losing skid and win their first game of 2023. In dominant, impressive fashion, 40-20 outright as a 6-point underdog against Washington. So, Joe, there will be some conversation. Now, what is next for this Bears team? Of course, they get the mini bye, the benefit of playing on a short week on Thursday. Next weekend, week number 6, they will host the Minnesota Vikings before hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. Two teams that, like the Bears at the moment, only have one win apiece. Joe, there's a chance Chicago could win their next two games and maybe even get things closer to 500 at 3-4. Do you think that's a realistic possibility for Chicago?
I do, and I have to be honest, he's playing consistent. They've opened up the offense. They're utilizing their playmakers outside of DJ Moore. Cole Kmet got involved. He went a number of times to Darnell Mooney, couldn't convert and connect on long balls. So he's utilizing every weapon he has around them from an offensive perspective, and as long as they're consistent and put up points, they're going to be in ball games. Minnesota is not a good team, and we know that Kirk Cousins now plays down to the level of competition. He's just as shaky as any quarterback in a big spot. So Minnesota's another team. They have one win on the year and beat up on Bryce Young in Carolina. Outside of that, there's no guarantee that they're going to beat Chicago. It's a divisional game. I believe the Bears have some life. I mean, when we look at the division as a whole, yes, Detroit is great right now. They're 3-1. Green Bay, I think, is a very good team. I picked them to win the division. But there's, you can't say that Chicago can't go toe-to-toe with any team in that division right now and maybe get to 9-8 overall record and maybe squeak into the playoffs.
Yeah. We'll see exactly where things are for the Bears. It's not like the NFC is a gauntlet at this moment. There are the two remaining unbeatens on that side of the league, Philadelphia and San Francisco. We'll look at those games in just a moment. But, Joe, Washington also started off a perfect 2-0, undefeated to begin this year. They now lost three straight games. And a defense, Joe, we thought was going to carry this club until the offense under the young Sam Howell, with new OC Eric Bieniemy, got up to speed, maybe would be the reason the Commanders could stay competitive. They are now the third worst scoring defense in the National Football League. They have allowed their last three opponents to all score at least 33 points, and the Bears just put up 40 against them, the most Washington has allowed this year. Joe, what do you make of the Commanders and where they stand after five games?
Yeah, you know how I feel. I think he's one of the worst head coaches in the league, Ron Rivera. Again, the defense has regressed since they won the NFC East 3 years ago. Chase Young and that front seven do not stop anybody. They don't get quarterback pressures. They don't stop the run, and their defense gets torched in terms of the secondary. How are you supposed to win ball games when that happens, especially when you're allowing well over 30 points per game, Ben? I mean, I just don't see it. And knowing who they have to go up with, even the Giants, Dallas, and Philadelphia, even though they went toe-to-toe with the Eagles last weekend, doesn't matter. They're not, over the long haul, going to stop or slow down anybody, and you have an old-minded head coach in Ron Rivera, and more importantly, Jack Del Rio, that's a mindset that's not working anymore. The talent that they have there, they should be much better, and they're not. And what did Ron Rivera do? No halftime adjustments, no adjustments in the first half. He's emotionless on the sidelines. Tell me how it's going to change.
Yeah, I don't know if it will. And again, Washington started off a perfect 2-0, and then again, maybe had one of their more competitive games last Sunday, taking Philly to overtime, covering as an 8.5-point underdog on the road at the Link. But this was still a team, Joe, not expected to do much this year. 6.5 was the win total for the Commanders. The under had the juice entering the season. So maybe that's what we're seeing, though, here with where things stand for Washington. All right, Joe, let's fly around the NFL Sunday slate. Let's start with the marquee matchup, Sunday Night Football, the 49ers and the Cowboys, a renewal of an NFC rivalry from the late 80s into the early 90s, where these two teams were playing against one another pretty much each and every postseason for a trip to a Super Bowl. 3.5, Joe, the point spread in favor of San Francisco this Sunday night in Santa Clara, the over-under 45 points. How do you see Sunday Night Football playing out?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lower scoring game, what we've seen in terms of the two playoff games, but I'm going to give the edge to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to roll the dice, take the points with the Cowboys, plus the 3.5 and plus 154 on the money line, because I believe in the defense, and I like the way they stepped up against New England. The defense was opportunistic, Dak playing well, Brandon Cook stepping up. I love CeeDee Lamb, Tony Pollard. I just think they have the personnel to challenge San Francisco at every level in regards to their defense, stress them. And I don't know if Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey are going to have that much success on the front seven. Love Micah Parsons. Maybe it's an emotional play, but I'm taking the points in this ballgame bet.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, Joe, where I don't love the point spread. I think it's going to be right around this number. The total's fascinating to me because 45 is a key number in the NFL. We're talking about two top five scoring and total defenses in the NFL. The Niners rank in the top five in scoring, total, and rush defense. They are outside of the top half, in fact, when it comes to passing defense so far. The Cowboys are the best scoring unit in the league, the second best total defense in all of the NFL. But I think the thing that my question for Dallas is, or at least what I would want to see, and where I think there might be that matchup advantage for San Francisco, we know offensively the Niners are going to be fine. I'm not so sure about this Dallas offense so far. 12 total touchdowns, Joe, scored by the Cowboys this year. Only 8 have come offensively. How does Dak and that unit move the football against a really stout San Francisco defense that both have been dominant in the wins they have had this year? Of course, the Niners have won all 4. They have scored at least 30 points in all 4 of their wins, an average scoring margin of nearly 17 points per game, third best in the NFL. But the Cowboys, Joe, who shut out the Giants week 1 on 40-zip, beat the Jets the next week handily 30-10, did lose outright to the Arizona Cardinals week number 3, but then last week, Joe, a resilient performance, a dominant performance once again against New England, 38-3. The Cowboys at 20.8 points per game, the second best scoring margin in the National Football League. So we'll see how that game plays out Sunday night in Santa Clara. Elsewhere on the West Coast on Sunday afternoon, Joe, the Rams get ready to host the Philadelphia Eagles. Cooper Kupp expected to make his debut here in 2023. His LA side, a 4.5-point home underdog, the total at 50.5. Joe, what do you like in this matchup?
I got to go against Jalen Hurts. I like the Rams, Ben. I really do. I like the Rams. And I took the Rams at 75-1 as a dark horse to win the Super Bowl. The reason why is all I heard all offseason is how bad the defense was supposed to be. And you know what? That secondary has proved to step up right now. They're only allowing basically 200 passing yards per game, playing and forcing teams to methodically work down the field. You have help me out with
Puka
that.
Puka Nacua. You got
Nacua, there you go, from BYU, yeah. That stepped up with Tutu Atwell. And by the way, Matt Stafford, as long as he's healthy, can deal just as good as anybody. I understand that's the concern heading into, yep, you know, the middle part of the season, but I like the way they're playing. The rushing attack with Kyren Williams, I think they can spread Philly in this ball game. It's not going to be easy. I think they can move the football. I expect a lower scoring game, but I put it it this way. I think they're going to be well within the number. They might lose by one. They might lose by three. But I'm taking the 4.5. I think it's way too much for the Eagles on the road.
Yeah, I would look at where things stand right now and think, can the Birds get to Matthew Stafford, a quarterback who has been sacked 8 times in the last 2 games, knowing the Birds only have 11 this year. However, the Philadelphia Eagles defense had the second most sacks in a single season ever in NFL history a year ago. Plenty more from the NFL Sunday slate coming your way up next as we try to preview it all live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle, previewing the Sunday slate around the NFL. Joe, there's been a line that really stood out to me for this Week 5 Sunday slate. The Chiefs and the Vikings. Earlier in the week, Kansas City was a 5.5-point favorite on the road in Minneapolis. The over-under high, north of 50 at 52.5. And then, Joe, yesterday, the line started to drop. 4.5, 4. Now, currently, as we enter the weekend, 3.5 points in favor of KC, only on the road in the Twin Cities. Joe, the line started to drop so drastically. I went to Ian Rappaport's Twitter. I went to Adam Schefter's Twitter. I went all over the place looking for a practice report or an injury update that said Patrick Mahomes was questionable or Travis Kelce had been ruled out or Chris Jones was holding out once again. It's nothing of the sort. So, Joe, why has the line moved so much back in the way of Minnesota?
Well, it is back-to-back road games, even though they played, right, Sunday night in regards to Kansas City. And, you know, they have played down to the level of competition throughout the years. I mean, go back. I mentioned the Washington game. They, you know, a couple of years ago, they were on the road laying 5.5. They wound up covering, but they struggled for a half. There are times on the road that Kansas City just doesn't open it up. But you're talking about Kirk Cousins. You're talking about Justin Jefferson, and you're talking about the potential to get into a shootout as well with that offense. I mean, if it's a higher scoring game, maybe, just maybe, Minnesota can steal it. The problem that I have is O'Connell, I don't think, is a very good coach. I don't think they have an offensive identity in terms of the Minnesota Vikings, especially not with the rushing attack, even though Madison did have 89, 90 yards last week. I think it's all Kansas City here. Laying a short number, I would lay the 3.5, but I tell you what, I believe this is the game that Mahomes and Cousins break out. 52.5 to me is way too light. I think we get this ball game potentially in the 60s.
Kirk threw the football less than 20 times a week ago. The previous games, he threw it 44 times, 44 times, and 50 for Minnesota. That pass play percentage was close to 75%, the only team in the NFL entering week number 4 that had thrown it on more than 70% or more of their plays. For me, Joe, I think it's an interesting spot now for Kansas City, where I think you're getting a discounted number. The Chiefs have not looked good, don't get me wrong, but there doesn't mean that the Chiefs can't look good. They've only scored 17 points and 23 points in their 2 road games so far this year. But I don't really think this Minnesota team is great. They've played all their games by a single score once again this year. They finally won their first one over a winless team in Carolina. And because of that, I'm supposed to expect a resilient effort from the Vikings. I think you're now getting a discounted number on the Chiefs. I don't know if it's outside of a single score. I think the Chiefs win by more than 4 points. All right, Lisa Guy, next up, as we roll through the Sunday afternoon slate, the Broncos and the Jets in Mile High. The Jets a 2.5-point road underdog in over under 43.5. Joe, so many storylines in this football game, right? Zach Wilson looking great a week ago, competitive for the Jets, albeit in a losing effort because of that costly fumble in the fourth quarter where he dropped the offensive snap. The Broncos, though, and the Jets have a little bit of bad blood. Nathaniel Hackett, the new OC in New York, was the former head coach of the Broncos fired after 15 games a season ago. And it led to Sean Payton, of course, calling out Nathaniel Hackett throughout this offseason, saying how the old head coach did a really bad job with this organization. Joe, do you think there's an added revenge factor for Hackett and that offense to continue to find their groove like they showed last week against KC?
Well, again, it's similar to Justin Fields. You have to put Zach Wilson in an area and in his strengths. Roll him out, get him outside the pocket where he doesn't have to stare down receivers and defensive tackles. Get him out in space where he can run it and throw it. And I'll just give the edge to the Jets defense here. I am completely not sold, even though Denver won that ball game last week.
Yeah.
I am not sold in terms of this defense being able to step up and make plays. I think the Jets potentially can run it with Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook as well. I like the physicality on both the offense and defensive lines. And again, we're talking about a quarterback in Russell Wilson last week that got handed a W by Chicago. Okay?
Yeah.
He hasn't pulled the ball game out on his own. And what has Sean Payton done with this team overall? I mean, defensively, they're much worse than they were last year. So to me, even though they're playing at home and he's called out Hackett, I think the better defense resides with the New York Jets. That potentially can carry them to victory as long as Zach Wilson's clean. And you know what? The way he played last week, I'll roll the dice.
Right.
Give me the Jets and the upset.
28 of 39. That was the number for Zach Wilson for 245 yards. Zach Wilson had his best game of this year. He had never thrown for more than 170 in the previous 3 weeks. Well, the good thing is he's playing one of the worst passing defenses in the NFL, second worst after the opening month, giving up 285 yards per game. They're also the worst scoring defense, yeah, and the worst rushing defense, giving up a buck 76 on the ground. I would expect Breece Hall, without the snap count limit anymore, to run roughshod over this Denver team. They are a disaster. Joe, we're one loss away against the New York Jets from talking about everything Denver spent to be a 1-4 football team who was handed their only victory of the year by Matt Eberflus's incompetence and the Chicago Bears. And I look forward to that day. Finally, Joe, to end out this afternoon slate, another peculiar line. The Bengals on the road in Arizona taking on the Cardinals. Two teams that are surprisingly both 1-3, but they have gotten here in very different ways. The Bengals have been a wildly disappointing team to start this year. The Cardinals have actually, despite only one outright win, been pretty good in the way they have done things. They are 3-1 against the spread and were within that game, within that margin against San Francisco a week ago before ultimately the Niners pulled away, winning by 19 and covering as a 2-touchdown favorite. But Joe, the Bengals are 0-3-1 against the number, favored here in this game now by only 3 points. What's the deal with that number?
Yeah, I mean, back-to-back road games, right? Struggle with Nashville with the Titans last week. But again, you have Joe Burrow going up against Josh Dobbs. And I understand Dobbs put up some yards last week, 289 on San Francisco. And they put up over 10 points in that ballgame. But again, I think the benefit here is the front seven of Cincinnati's defense. I think they shut down the rushing attack. And I think Burrow finds ways to pull this ballgame out. I mean, this is one of my better bets for the weekend. The fact that Arizona lost to San Francisco, they've now been beat up, I believe. I mean, think about the games that they've had to play. Washington in terms of week number one, the Giants, then Dallas, then San Francisco. Now you get Cincinnati, a speed team. Hopefully their speed will expose them. Laying 3, I think it's a sure number. I'm taking the Bengals and I lean to the under. Same type of mindset for Joe Burrow. Until I see him wing it, how could you take an over right now?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, I thought last week we would look back and say Cincinnati, only a 2.5-point favorite in Nashville against the Titans, was going to be a weird spread to look back on. It turns out I was wrong in my thinking, but not wrong with what I said. I thought it would be the wrong spread because the Bengals were going to win by a touchdown easy. The Bengals got absolutely trounced by the Titans, who ran all over this Cincinnati front seven. I think we could look back on this 3-point spread and think the same thing, either with which way. Anyway, when it comes to this game itself, Joe, and you think about the Bengals from a season ago, they got off to an 0-2 start. They got off to an 0-2 start this year. They won game number 3. The Bengals last year won game 3 and 4 before dropping a game week number 5 to ultimately fall to 2-3. If the Bengals win this football game, despite how disastrous this season has been to start, they'll be 2-3 in a familiar spot from last year. Listen, it's a very tall order to win 11 of your final 12 games in 8 consecutively to end out the regular season, but the Bengals have been here before. I look at them, maybe, Joe, finding a little bit of life on Sunday in the desert if Joe Burrow is healthy. No love lost, Joe, between two other AFC North teams, the Ravens and the Steelers. In Pittsburgh in the early window on Sunday, the Steelers a 4.5-point home favorite. The total minimal, Joe, 38. What's the deal for the Steelers and the Ravens?
You always want to take points with Tomlin and the Steelers, but again, this is another inconsistent team right now. Kenny Pickett's banged up. Rushing attack with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren haven't been dynamic, so I wonder, you know, how are they going to be able to score? Now, it is a rivalry. I lean Baltimore here, Ben, but I'll tell you what I really like. I really like the over. Somehow, some way, I think both offenses will open it up. They can't just attack in terms of the rushing attack. They need to attack vertically in terms of those secondaries. So for me, I like the over, lean to the Ravens, but I don't love it. I think the over is the play in this ball game.
Joe, this is not a game that will be easily won by either team. The last 4 meetings between the Ravens and the Steelers over the past 2 years have all been decided by 3 points or less. The last 6, dating back to the start of 2020, decided by 5 points or less in 4 of those 6 games under this total of 38. It is a hard-fought battle anytime Pittsburgh and Baltimore face off, regardless of who lines up in those uniforms. But maybe some good news for the Steelers, despite how dismal the offense has been. Kenny Pickett is going to play through the bone bruise that left him out of the game late in that third quarter last Sunday in Houston against the Texans. Joe, the largest spread of the weekend, 11.5 in favor of Miami. They take on the New York Giants, 47.5. is the total. Joe, is there any chance the G-men even keep this game closer than an 11-point spread says?
I think they do, believe it or not. And, you know, as a Dolphin fan, this game does scare me a little bit because of the mobility of Daniel Jones, the ability for Brian Daboll to game plan a more conservative approach. I would take the points, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Joe, I just don't know where New York is going to muster up any offense to even stay within this number. And the Giants defense hasn't showed me much that they can slow down Miami, who is also looking for their own bounce back this week. We'll talk about it more up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle. Let's continue diving through the Sunday slate in week number 5. Lisi guy, 11.5 points is the spread in favor of Miami against the New York Football Giants. I'm just not so sure the Giants are going to be able to cover this number. I wouldn't lay 11.5, Joe, not in an NFL game. Again, I think the Dolphins are going to look to bounce back. Here's where I try to find my edge. I can't believe the number is as low as it is. Devon Achane, the rookie running back out of Texas A&M for Miami. Joe, last week, only 8 carries. Still broke the century mark, 101 yards and 2 rushing scores. The weekend prior, of course, 18 carries for more than 200 and 2 scores against the Denver Broncos. The New York Giants have allowed the lead running back of their opposition in the 4 games this year to have at least 70 yards. Achane's going to go over 49.5.
Yeah, I mean, and they utilized him. Achane is more of a 12 to 15 touch type of back. You don't want him pounding the rock for like 20, 30 times a game because of his body size. So they utilized him a little less than what they did against Denver, but that's a nice look. I like it in terms of the speedster because his ability, too, in the receiving game is going to be critical to Miami, I believe, pulling this ball game out. If you want a prop bet, I believe, listen, you got to get Waller involved. He was non-existent in terms of that ballgame Monday night. I know a lot of it had to do with the offensive line, but if the Giants are going to be within this number, if they're going to actually put up points, Darren Waller needs to not only get the yards, he needs to get into the end zone. So red zone opportunities are going to be critical for Darren Waller. 40.5 to me is so low. He needs to get into the 80s in this ballgame, Ben.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just see, Joe, because we're not exactly sure what the status is of Saquon Barkley. We haven't heard much. We haven't seen a lot out of Darren Waller since he joined the New York Giants. Maybe this is the week. Another double-digit spread, Joe, in favor of the Lions against the Panthers in Detroit on Sunday. The over-under, 44.5. Of course, after Chicago's win last night, there is only one winless team remaining in the NFL. It is Carolina. Does that win come, Joe, somehow, some way on Sunday in the Motor City?
I don't know if it comes, but I'm taking the 10 points, and I think they're well within the number. I think this is a potential letdown spot for Detroit right now. I know they're playing well. Jared Goff is playing lights out. But at the end of the day, for me, I think Carolina matches up well with them. No props listed for any of the Carolina players right now. But one prop that I do like is Jahmyr Gibbs. They got to get him more involved in terms of the rushing attack. It's been all David Montgomery. I mean, you dominate Montgomery with 3 touchdowns a couple weeks ago. I mean, where's Jahmyr Gibbs? Get him involved. I mean, you talk about Achane from Miami. He's a similar back for the Detroit Lions. Got a number of 35.5 in terms of the rushing game. He's got to get over that. I mean, when does Detroit plan on utilizing the rookie the right way? So I lean to Carolina, but I like Gibbs over his total this week.
Yeah, it might be an area to look. They got to get him involved, right? Everybody thought he was going to be that guy. It truly has been David Montgomery so far. The Lions coming off a short bye, of course, because they played Thursday night, week number 4. This is the growing pains of having a number 1 overall pick as your starting quarterback. And frankly, Joe, Bryce Young has looked like the worst of the 3 quarterbacks taken in the top 4. So let's go there next. The best in the offensive rookie of the favorite, rookie of the year favorite so far, C.J. Stroud for Houston. The Texans, a 1.5-point underdog on the road in Atlanta, +108 on that money line. Joe, I highlight Houston's numbers because I think the Texans win their 3rd straight game, and I think they win outright, not only because of what C.J. Stroud has done, more than 1,200 passing yards so far, the 2nd most ever in NFL history for a quarterback in his first 4 games, 151 pass attempts, not a single interception so far, and not only because D'Amico Ryans has shored up this Houston defense a little bit as well, Joe, I just don't believe in Desmond Ritter. I was never optimistic on the Falcons because of it. I know they have so many pieces of talent around him, but the guy distributing the football, I didn't really think added much to the offensive equation. Give me the Texans outright on the money line in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm with you. You talk about a quarterback coming into his own, putting up numbers, and leading this team. He's getting wins, too. He's not just compiling stats. And you know what? The way that defense is played, with all the injuries, they're playing much more consistent than the Atlanta Falcons. And you could argue that Atlanta could be 1-3. They got the 1-point win over Green Bay where, you know, Jordan Love did have the football with the final drive. I love this Houston Texan offense. I love the wide receivers, Tank Dell. I love everything that D'Amico Ryans has given C.J. Stroud to develop. And you know what? They're a young team. Catching 1.5, I mean, I'm going to go. I've been betting them every week. Over to 41.5 and give me them on the money line. I think they went outright. I think Atlanta's a sinking ship. I think the only way they turn it around, Ben, is if they go to Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, we'll see if that point comes for the Atlanta Falcons at this moment. But at least this week, Joe, I look toward the Houston Texans. Another rookie quarterback, Anthony Richardson, in Indianapolis, of course, will make the start for the Colts. They host the Tennessee Titans. Joe, the Titans have now moved to a 2.5-point favorite. The total's at 42.5. All 4 teams in the AFC South, all 2-2. Houston, Indy, Tennessee, and, of course, Jacksonville, who remains the divisional frontrunner. Joe, the Titans have actually closed as an underdog in all four of their games so far this year. They've won two of them outright, and dating back to last season, Joe, they are a really good team against the number as an underdog as well, 7-4-1 ATS. As a favorite, though, 4-3 against the number. So, Joe, how do you break down this football game with Tennessee and Indianapolis?
Yeah, this one's simple for me. I the edge to Vrabel. I give the edge to the physicality of the offensive line for Tennessee. If Kyren Williams put up 103 rushing yards on that defense last week, what do you think Derrick Henry is in store for? Derrick Henry got into the 90s last week against Cincinnati. I think you feed him the rock. You don't even put the football in terms of Ryan Tannehill's hands. You allow the rushing attack to take over and wear them down. Derrick Henry's number here is 75.5. So I can only look to Tennessee. I mean, that's not a knock on Steichen, but I lean to the under as well. So give me Tennessee, Henry over his total, and the under in this ballgame bet.
Joe, when you look at the Tennessee Titans this year, again, here are the numbers for Tennessee. They have not played in a game that has featured a spread outside of 3.5. They were a 3-point dog against New Orleans. They covered in that game, losing by one, week number one. They were a 2.5-point home underdog against the Chargers. They won that game outright. They were a 3.5-point underdog against Cleveland. They lost that game by 24, did not cover. A 2.5-point home underdog last week against Cincinnati. They won that game outright. This week, a 2.5-point favorite for the first time. But Joe, everything around that key number of 3 for the Titans, they are one of the most difficult teams you can bet week in, week out in the National Football League. One final game, Joe, or two final games, actually, before we turn our attention quickly to the marquee matchups in college football. A game, Joe, that features just a 1-point spread, the Saints and the Patriots, -110 on the money line for New Orleans in Foxborough. A slight favorite there, a total of 39.5. Joe, I'm taking the under. I don't know where points come from in this game. The Pats, the third worst scoring offense in the league, averaging less than 2 touchdowns per game. The Saints have played 13 of their previous 14 games to an under. Joe, New Orleans is the only team in the NFL through the opening month that has played all 4 games to an under. I think that trend continues on Sunday at Gillette.
Yeah, it's possible. 2 one-dimensional offenses. I will say this. Isn't it ironic that New Orleans is a 1-point favorite over Bill Belichick and the Patriots at home? That's just how bad I believe the Patriots are. I think they've completely lost their identity in terms of what they want to do from an offensive perspective. I think they don't have a stitch of a passing game with Mac Jones. They don't have any speed on the perimeter. And this New Orleans defense can run sideline to sideline. So for me, they should be able to shut down Zeke and Ramondre Stevenson easy, force Mac Jones into long third downs. I don't love New Orleans offense with Derek Carr, but I think they win this ball game by at least a field goal.
Yeah, again, the field goal would be a cover. You got to think the New Orleans offense starts to open up a little bit. Average 3.4 yards per attempt last weekend. Ridiculously
low. Didn't they beat them, Ben? Didn't they beat them last year? They played. Wasn't that the game where Mac Jones threw 2 picks last year?
New Orleans.
Or pick 6.
Let me look at it right now, Joe. I'll take a look for you as we look. Last year, did the Saints and the Patriots play? No, it does not appear that they did, Lisa Guy, unless I'm missing it. No, they did not play last year.
It was the year before then, right?
Maybe so.
It might have been the year before. But yeah.
All right.
To me, Mac Jones, I mean, totally one-dimensional. So we'll see.
No doubt about it. All right, Joe, let's finish with the final game of the Sunday slate. It's the earliest game in London. It's the Bills and the Jags, a 5.5-point number in favor of Buffalo. Of course, Jacksonville has remained in London for the entirety of this week after the 23-7 win last Sunday in London over Atlanta. Joe, who do you think has the edge in this matchup?
I think it's Jacksonville. And again, the fact that they stayed out there, they grind out a win over Atlanta. I know Buffalo dominated Miami. That was an emotional win. Now you go to London, it's going to be very difficult. You know, again, it wouldn't shock me if Josh Allen and Buffalo ripped them in this ballgame, but I sort of believe that, you know, this offense is coming into their own. They utilize Travis Etienne a little bit more. We saw Christian Kirk get involved in the first half last week, Ridley with the touchdown. I like what they have from an offensive perspective. I'm going to take them. I believe in Jacksonville. I still believe they're the best team in their division, and I think they could strike the upset. The fact that a that's in London leads me. If it was in Orchard Park, I would say no way. All bets are off. But the fact that they're catching four and a half, five right now in London, give me the points with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see, Joe, if I'm being honest. I don't know how much an advantage it is to stay in London this week, right? You're still not in your team facilities. You're not in your own home bed. You're not used to your daily schedule and routine just because your body clock has been adjusted to being across the pond. I don't know how much of an advantage that is. I think the number is peculiar. It's 5.5. Would it be 7.5 if it was a true home game in Buffalo? Is it really a touchdown difference between Jacksonville and the Bills right now? Does that speak to how good Buffalo is? Does it speak to how disappointing Jacksonville has been to start this year? I'm not entirely sure. I'm staying away from that football game. At least we don't have enough time. We never do on Football Fridays to preview the college football slate. But let's try to get to some of the big ones. We go rapid fire. The Red River Rivalry. Texas and Oklahoma, a top 15 tilt, 12th ranked OU, 3rd ranked UT. The first time, Joe, since 2011, these two teams have both been undefeated into the Red River Rivalry. It's a 5.5-point spread in favor of Texas. Who gets out of this game 6-0?
I think it's Oklahoma. Taking the points because Dillon Gabriel didn't play last year. Defense improved, and I think they're playing with house money, being the underdog.
Yeah, I think, Joe, it's a big game for Dillon Gabriel to prove himself a little bit here in this biggest spot for OU. You'll hear a lot about the balance of Texas, and rightfully so, but let's not forget about Oklahoma, top 5 in the country in scoring offense and scoring defense, the only FBS team that can say that. Elsewhere, Joe, another top 25 till early on in that window, Missouri and LSU, the 21st-ranked Tigers of Columbia, the 23rd-ranked Tigers of Baton Rouge, who wins the football game, Joe?
It's an ugly pick, but I'm going LSU in an ugly game, Ben. They win it in the fourth quarter and cover.
5.5 is the spread in favor of the Bayou Bengals. I like the over of 64.5. We'll rapid fire our way through week 6 on the other side of the break before we end out this edition of Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live here for just a few more minutes on FFC. Lisi Guy, it's rapid fire time around week number 6 of the college football season. Lisi, in between the hedges, tomorrow night in Athens, it's number 1 Georgia, it's number 20 Kentucky, a top 20 tilt. 14.5, Joe, the number in favor of the Bulldogs. They are 5-0, but they are 0-5 against the number. The over-under 47.5, Lisi Guy. Does Georgia finally cover the spread for the first time in 2023?
Yes, and they do it in a big way. It's all Carson Beck. It's all the defensive front 7 that contains Ray Davis. He ain't rushing for 280 in Athens Saturday night.
It will be the biggest test, right? 43 attempts for Auburn as a team last week for more than 215 yards. Georgia knew what was going to happen and still couldn't really slow it down. I would keep an eye, though, on the Cats in the first half getting 7.5. Georgia has been abysmal in the opening half this year. Notre Dame laying 6.5, Lisi Guy, in a top 25 tilt on the road in Louisville, Kentucky. A big weekend in the Bluegrass State, last weekend in college football. Notre Dame survived, Joe, as less than a touchdown favorite on the road last week. Can Notre Dame do it for a second consecutive time and cover as a near touchdown favorite?
Yeah, it might be close for a half in the second half. I think it's Estime. I think it's all Sam Hartman. I think it's the speed and physicality in Notre Dame that get it done. And that's not a knock on Jeff Brohm doing a great job with Jack Plummer. Defense playing really well. But I think Notre Dame is a top 5 team, and they'll showcase that Saturday night in Louisville.
Louisville averaging 301 passing yards per game. However, Jack Plummer does have 6 interceptions. I would keep an eye on that Notre Dame defense that is 4th best against the pass so far this season. Lisi Guy, I'll see you tomorrow on College Football Today, huh? Starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, live right here on Sports Grid Radio.
We're going to have a good time. Baby. Nothing better.
Hey! You know what we say, we love the show. That we certainly do. All right, before we see you guys tomorrow, we'll see you after it, starting on Monday, back here on Football Full Circle at noon Eastern time. Everybody have a great football weekend.
step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.